If there were a way to impact God's kingdom while investing, would you use it? Hi, I'm Rob West. We typically think about growing the kingdom with our tithes and offerings, but there is a way to have kingdom impact with our portfolios too. Brandon Pizzurro is here today to tell us about it. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, it's a pleasure to welcome Brandon Pizzurro to the program today. He's President and Chief Investment Officer of Guidestone Capital Management, an underwriter of this program. And Brandon, it's great to have you with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on today.
Brandon, we're talking today about seeing the world transformed through Christian investing. Why don't we start there? What does that mean to you and the team at Guidestone?
Certainly. It's a concept we've thought a lot about and thinking about stewardship, right? That's a word that we talk a lot about inside this building. And as a Christian community, it's a word that comes up quite often. Everyone at church, probably you hear that come up when it comes to tithes and offerings. And so when we think about stewardship within the context of investing, we also think about stewarding our investment resources overall. So it's really kind of predicated on the notion that if Christians approach investing with that same intentionality, that faith-driven mindset overall, that should approach, you know, basically in touch every aspect of their life. I think we could really seek to think about world change from the way that God's kingdom can be exhibited through our finances.
It's certainly an exciting vision, Brandon, but let's talk about that kingdom change you're describing. How can investing bring about change?
Yeah, let's think about that a little bit more granularly. So when we think about that, we have to think about the concept of maybe just impact investing. And that word's been tossed around in the secular world and in the Christian world and how we think about investing with impact. I would say first and foremost, every type of investing is impact investing. It's just, what are you impacting, really?
Yeah.
So when we think about it through our lens, we see Christians putting their investing dollars to work at companies and organizations and really trying to say, what do we stand for rather than what we stand against? What we stand against is important, but what we stand for is something that we're trying to proliferate a bit more. Specifically, we think about kind of three key areas here, the sanctity of life and spreading the gospel, human dignity and advancement, and the stewardship of God's creation. It's really through those three primary lenses that we think about that positive impact.
That's great. And how does Guidestone also then give back through its impact investments?
Well, we're really excited about the uniqueness of our two impact funds and what we're doing there. So we're actually donating 20% of our revenue from our impact funds back to kingdom causes. And that's important because we state that in our official SEC filings. You know, we hold our own feet to the fire of making those philanthropic donations. And we've done so in a variety of ways. I'd be happy to unpack a few for you if you're interested.
Sure. Tell us about it.
Sure. A couple here that come to mind. First and foremost, we've donated to the Psalm 139 Project, which is a really neat organization. They furnish ultrasound equipment for pregnancy centers. And why is that important? You know, statistics show, and I think our audience here can agree, that women that see their babies in the womb and can actually see that life flourishing within inside them really can help them make that positive choice in seeking life rather than an abortion there. So Psalm 139 Project's a great organization there. One other that comes to mind is Minnow. That's a streaming platform that offers gospel-centered content for kids. There's a lot of garbage out there for kids to consume, and we like Minnow because they're putting forth, you know, really kind of God-centered programming. Think VeggieTales, for instance, but there's a lot of great stuff there.
Oh, that's incredible. I mean, think investing, but impact at the same time, and it's a powerful combination. Now, beyond impact investing, Brandon, what other things are being done through Guidestone funds to transform the world?
Sure. So for the individual securities and bonds that we do own, we have to think about corporate engagement. That's another tool in our proxy voting power. So anytime you own a security, for our listeners, you get the ability to vote and say on whatever management or shareholder proposals are coming forward. By us having that process in-house, we can very clearly delineate where we want to have our votes and how we want our voice to be heard through the ownership of those securities. So engaging with corporations, having them see the world through our lens, and then also voting our proxies in a God-honoring way, two other ways for us to engage.
I love it. We've got just 30 seconds left. Sum this up for us on why believers need to be intentional about how they invest.
Sure. Intentionality is everything in our world. You're intentional about everything you do when you go about your day. So as Christians, we believe that we're called to align our investing with our values overall. So what Guidestone wants to do is we want to walk alongside them in that journey by providing these faith-based investments, by providing impact to helpfully help them seek God-honoring ways to commit their finances.
That's very well said, Brandon. Well, thanks for visiting with us today. We're going to have to leave it there, but I hope you'll come back real soon.
Certainly. Thanks for having me.
That's Brandon Pizzurro with Guidestone Capital Management and underwriter of this program. You can find out more at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. That's GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Back with your questions after this. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. The game of Survivor, some say the most successful reality TV show ever. It's all about winning the prize, outsmarting, outfoxing, outcompeting, outlasting everyone else to win the prize. It's a little like 1 Corinthians 9:24, where Paul writes, "Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." Well, that's how you run. But in the kingdom of God, there's a twist. In the end, the prize isn't only for you. Instead of outsmarting your fellow believers, you help them take their next step forward, closer and closer to Jesus. That's how we grow together in Him. Get more daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Fostering and adoption is not a band-aid for infertility.
Nope,
like it is a calling, and God can change the desire of your heart and make that so rewarding. It's the most beautiful, selfless thing. It's pure religion, but it's not a fix to I desire biological child. God has to deal with that in your heart separately.
Hannah's Heart, encouraging couples through infertility and miscarriage. Saturdays, 4 a.m. Central on AFR or on the AFR app.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good. To explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values, more information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
So glad you're along with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Always good to have Brandon Pizzurro along with us. And we're going to turn the corner, though, and talk about anything financial. That's right. Whatever's on your mind financially speaking today, we'd love to tackle it with you. We've got some lines open today. And perhaps there's been that question you've been wrestling with. Maybe over the weekend you were wondering about a financial situation in your life and you'd like to run it through the lens of biblical wisdom. We'd love to tackle it with you. You can call right now with lines open at 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. Also, perhaps you have a testimony today, a story you'd like to share about God's faithfulness in your financial life. Maybe you've applied these principles and seen them work. Maybe you're struggling right now and you'd just like to share where you're at. We'd love to encourage you. You can call with those testimonies as well. 800-525-7000. All right, we're going to dive in today. We'll begin in Mississippi. Hi, Diane. I know you didn't get through Friday. I appreciate you calling back. How can I help?
I'm married, I'm 59, and I never invested before, and I have $100, and I was thinking of trying a mutual fund, and I don't know if I should do it or not.
Well, it's a great thought, Diane. I love the idea of you putting money away for the long haul. You know, even at 59, you know, if the Lord tarries and you're in good health, you need this money that you would consider long-term in nature to last for decades, right? I mean, you need to be planning for at least 3 decades or more for this money to last, which means you have a proper time horizon to put that money at the risk of the stock or bond market or both. And I think the key is just making sure that you truly have a long-term view with whatever you're allocating to the stock market, be it $100 or $100,000. And you've got to start somewhere. So I think just starting with what you have available certainly is a great option. Let me just ask a couple of questions, though, and then we'll talk about where you go from here. Do you have, Diane, what I would call an emergency fund, a liquid savings account separate from this money you're looking to invest?
Yeah, I have, I think, $2,000. That's it.
Okay. And what... what do you all spend on a monthly basis, roughly? What would be your total monthly expenses?
Oh, shoot.
If you had to guess.
Well, probably as much as he makes, 1,500, maybe 1,800.
Okay. Well, my first recommendation to you is going to be, let's do a budget. Not right now while we're on the phone, but I think in the next week or two, let's put a plan together. And one of the ways you can capture that, if you'd rather use paper and pen, is literally the two of you just kind of carry a little, a very small notebook around with you, maybe one as small as you know, it fits in the palm of your hand. But every time you spend some money, write it down. And what we're trying to capture is not only those things that you get a bill for, like a utility bill or a mortgage bill, but also those things you don't get a bill for. So you're out, you guys go out to dinner, or you stop and pick up something at, you know, the local market, or you go to buy some clothes, or, you know, you go out for an evening to see a movie, something like that. You want to capture all those as well. And I'd love for you to develop a spending plan so that you all know exactly what you're spending in each category, and you can make some course corrections. You know, you may find you're spending money on things you would deem unnecessary, and you can eliminate them, but it's hard to do that unless you really see where it's going. But let's say it's that $1,800 a month that you mentioned. You know, I would really love for you to have 3 months' expenses at a minimum in savings before you start investing. So that's $5,400. And the reason is I don't want you to put this $100 or any amount in the market when you only have, you know, $2,000 saved, because if something major came up unexpected, you'd deplete your emergency savings, and then you'd have to pull that $100 out of the market in a very short period of time, potentially. And that's just not the way we want to invest. We really want to only invest money in the stock market, whether it's individual stocks or mutual funds, where we have at least a 5-year time horizon, preferably 10 or more. And that way we can weather those ebbs and flows of the market, because the market just literally last week hit an all-time high on the S&P 500 and the Dow Jones. I mean, higher than it's ever been in the history of the United States. And because of that, doesn't mean it's not the right time to invest. I think you should still systematically invest in this market. But let's say we hit a recession later this year, which a lot of economists are expecting, the market will undoubtedly pull back. And if you needed to pull the money out, you could pull it out. Your $100 could be worth $85. And that's just not the way we want to invest. So my recommendation to you, Diane, would be take that $100 a month and whatever else you can free up by doing some work on your budget to identify expenses that you can eliminate. Let's say you can get that up to $150 a month. And let's put that into your savings account until you get up to at least 3 months' expenses. That's $5,400. And then I think it's time to start thinking about, you know, putting money into a good, solid, maybe a faith-based investing mutual fund, maybe inside a Roth IRA where it's after-tax money, it grows tax-free, and then you can pull it out at any point after age 59 and a half without any penalties, including the gains, as long as you leave it in there 5 years and you don't pay any tax on it. And that would be very simple to do, and you could just set up an automatic investment plan where it just automatically gets deposited into your Roth IRA and it automatically gets invested. But I wouldn't do that now. Does that make sense, though?
Yes, I think I'll try that first.
Okay. Yeah, very good. So I would, after you work on the budget, I would try to figure out what that amount is that you can put in savings, and I would automate it. And here's what I mean by that. Just set up an automatic transfer right into your savings account every month. Now, make sure you got enough cushion there. I don't want you to overdraw yourself by doing this, but by setting it and forgetting it and building it into your plan, it's more likely to happen that way, as opposed to you saying, well, when I get to the end of the month, whatever's left, I'll send that. No, let's treat it like a bill and automatically transfer it to your savings until you get up to that 3 months expenses. Give that a shot, and hey, let me know how that goes along the way. And may the Lord bless you. Thanks for calling today. Let's go to Pennsylvania. Hi, John. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. Hi, Rob. I just had a question. How much of a net worth would my wife and I need at retirement to not have long-term care insurance?
Yeah. You know, the rule of thumb has been $2 million in assets. It's now up to $2.5 million by most annual analysts. And the reason is just because of the rising cost of medical care. It's outpaced inflation pretty significantly. And so now, you know, full nursing care can run you $9,000-$10,000 a month. And so because of that, that number has been bumped up to $2.5 million. So typically what they will say is, if you have assets, you know, between $200,000 and $2 or $2.5 million, you need long-term care insurance, or you should at least look at it and see if it fits in the budget. Below $200,000, you're going to really rely on Medicaid pretty quickly, and above $2 or $2.5 million, you can self-insure.
Okay, so that would include your primary residence in that total net worth of $2.5 million?
It would. I mean, assuming you would. I mean, the only challenge with that is that's very illiquid unless you put a reverse mortgage in place, which you could do. So let's say one of you needed to move into skilled care. Obviously, you'd typically both go. But if one of you needed skilled care outside of the home, or if you needed in-home care, it's illiquid. That's where I think a reverse mortgage can be a great planning tool to generate monthly income on a home that has significant equity or maybe is paid in full. But apart from that, you would need to look at other assets. If you're willing to consider that home equity, then yes, you could make that a part of the plan. Hope that helps, John. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back with much more. Stick around.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute. No way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
So for God to speak is for God to engage in self-revelation. We only know God because God has condescended to speak to us.
The God Who Speaks is a 90-minute documentary that answers many of the common objections about the Bible's reliability. The film equips believers to confidently base their lives on the power of God's Word. It's available at streaming.afa.net.
My grocery bill went up 11% this year. Gas, utilities, rent, all went up. But my paycheck, the same. I also pay for my own health care, a huge expense. A friend recommended Christian Healthcare Ministries as an option to insurance, and CHM helps pay for medical needs while allowing some breathing room in my budget. Open enrollment is here, so make the switch today with potential cost savings up to 40%. Christian Healthcare Ministries at chministries.org/faithfi.
Here's Rob West of Faith and Finance, heard here daily on American Family Radio.
We understand how important it is for Christians to leave a legacy that will impact generations to come. One way you can do that is through a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. One line open for your calls and questions today on anything financial, 800-525-7000. Hey, before we head back to the phones, let me tell you about a brand new offering from FaithFi. We are so excited about our very first FaithFi study. That's right. We're now producing studies for you to go deep into God's word around the money topic. Our very first one, we're just delighted to be able to offer to you. It's called Rich Toward God, and it's a study on the parable of the rich fool in Luke 12. It's a four-week journey through Luke 12 to explore the themes of greed and eternal treasure and pride and true abundance. It ultimately helps you answer the question from this parable, what does it mean to live rich toward God? And whether you're going to do the study individually on your own or in a small group at church, it's an incredible resource. It's beautiful. We're so excited about the design, and we'd love for you to check it out and maybe order one or several for your small group today. You can head to faithfi.com and click on shop at the top, S-H-O-P, that's faithfi.com. Just click on our shop there, and you can check out our brand new study, Rich Toward God. Download it, or not download it, but order it today and jump into it with your small group and let us know how it goes. We're so excited to be able to explore these really important themes in God's Word around our money management and its connection to our hearts through our new FaithFi studies. FaithFi.com is where you can learn more. All right, we're going to head back to the phones. All the lines full, so if you're getting a busy signal, just keep trying. We'll try to get to as many calls as we can today. To Georgia. Hi, Sandra. Go ahead.
Hi. Hi, Rob. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
My 21-year-old daughter is graduating from college this May. She managed to save a small amount of money, about $5,000. She wants to invest it all in high-yielding savings. I don't know much about it, so I'm calling to get some more information about that.
Yeah, well, I'd be happy to weigh in on that. Let me just ask a question. I'm delighted that she saved this money. I'm glad she's already thinking about earning something on it. Does she have anything in mind with regard to the time horizon on when and how she would use this money in the future?
Not at this time.
Okay. Do you think there's a chance, Sandra, she'd want to use it in the next 5 years for a car purchase or down payment on a house or, you know, first, last, and security on an apartment, something like that?
More than likely, yes.
Okay. Yeah, very good. So I think the savings is the right place to go. If at some point she decided she wanted to start saving for the long term, I'd love the idea of her, you know, opening a Roth IRA at some point. But I think we've got to get beyond the money that is either for emergencies now or even, you know, medium term savings for things that she might need in the next 5 years. And her idea of a high yield savings is perfect for both of those. In terms of how you should think about this, a savings account, whether it's a high yield savings or a regular traditional savings account at a brick and mortar bank down the street from your house, are basically the same, with one exception. The high yield savings typically is from the online banks, where they don't pay for the brick and mortar operations, and therefore they can pass along a lot more of that savings to the depositor. They're both backed by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC, which just means that the deposit is protected by the full faith and credit of the United States government. So if the bank or institution holding the money fails for whatever reason, and that doesn't happen very often, but if it does, if it did, then the government would step in and make sure that the money is protected and that it's liquid, that the depositors can get access to the money. And so that's where the FDIC provides that confidence. In terms of where to go to find a high-yield savings account, I would go to the website bankrate.com. That's bankrate.com. Just click on high-yield savings right there on the front page. And every day they're ranking the high-yield savings accounts based on who's offering them very best and most attractive interest rates right now. And they offer their five-star rating system, which factors in things like the strength of the bank, their customer service, just a whole number of issues. And I think as you and she look through this list, you could land on one that you feel good about. I mean, for instance, you'll find some today as high as 5%. You'll find others, at between 4.3% and 4.5%. But I think if you find one that's highly rated in the five-star rating system and has something, around 4.5% or more, that would be a great option. If she uses a traditional checking account, she could open this account just for her savings and then link it electronically to her checking account. And that way, as she builds up more money in her checking account from her job, maybe she gets a direct deposit, she creates a spending plan or a budget, and hopefully she's living on less than she's making. So every month she's got a little bit left over. Then with a click of a button, she could automatically transfer that surplus on a monthly basis over to her new savings account electronically. And it would be a great way for her to make a little bit of money on the money that she's accumulated. So if you take this, I think you said it was $5,000, over the next 12 months, she can make $275, which is great. And it's completely safe. Does that make sense?
It does. I'm sorry, I missed, you said bank rate. I missed that.
Yes, ma'am. Bankrate.com. So bankrate.com. And then just click on high yield savings and you'd find a list of those what their interest rate is today, whether or not they have any minimums on the deposits, so the minimum amount that you need to start the account. And then you'll also see whether they're a member of FDIC, which is important, and their ranking based on Bankrate's five-star rating system.
Okay, very good.
All right.
Thank you so very much.
You're welcome, Sandra. Thanks for calling. Hey, let me send you a copy of Howard Dayton's book, Your Money Counts. I think this will be a great little primer for her to get started in understanding how to handle money God's way. It'll cover things like the dangers of debt and the importance of a spending plan and the importance of compound interest for investing, but all through the lens of scripture. So you stay on the line. We'll get your name and we'll send you Your Money Counts from Howard Dayton as our gift to you to pass along to her. God bless you, Sandra. Hey, a quick break and then back with your questions. All the lines stacked up. We've got some good ones coming up. We'll be right back.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Started playing basketball at 9 years old. I ended up having teammates that were my teammates all the way up through high school. And the Lord began to challenge me. Abe, you're a Christian, but have you ever shared the gospel with your teammates? I began to realize, no, I hadn't. What I'm saying is that God moved me to be concerned beyond me. It is impossible for you to be truly born again, yet you remain unconcerned about the people around you.
Tune in to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
Real-life heroes don't look like the ones in the movies. Mark Nichols doesn't wear a cape. He's a business owner in a small Arkansas town who took a stand when his local library opened their children's section to the radical LGBTQ agenda. When you give today to AFA Action, you're helping to protect the innocence of children. We'll also give you a free copy of Mark's story. It's the latest DVD in our Impact series. Visit afaaction.net today. afaaction.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio, where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. Taking your calls and questions. Looks like one line open, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Hey, before we head back to the phones, let me remind you, Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio is listener supported, which just simply means we can only bring you this broadcast and all of the incredible resources at faithfi.com as a result of your generous support. And so if you'd consider being a supporter of the ministry with a one-time gift or perhaps as a monthly partner, we would certainly be grateful. It would make a huge difference in us reaching more people with the message of biblical stewardship. You can give quickly and securely online on our website at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click give at the top of the page. Thanks in advance. All right, we're going to head back to the phones. Let's go to Texas. Hi, Holly. How can I help?
Hey, thank you so much for your program. And
thank you.
I had a quick question about investing in gold and silver.
Great. Yeah. What was your question on that?
Well, there's so many different things to invest in. I'm just wondering if we should take some part of our finances and invest in gold and silver. I just recently voted in the early voting in Texas, and we had a proposition that was actually to make it easier for people to eventually spend gold and silver. And so that got me thinking again about maybe we should go in this direction so that it is a more secure way of you know, saving for the future in case of disaster.
Yeah, it's a good question. Yeah, so that's really fascinating what's going on there. This is the Senate bill that was designed to create the U.S. First U.S. state-created gold-backed digital currency. Is that the one that you voted on?
No, it's didn't say anything that about digital at all.
Okay.
That would be another question I would like to hear your opinion on, is all the digit
money, so it was, but perhaps it was something different. Well, I'd love to know more about that. But I think you're right. I mean, there's certainly something to be said about having an allocation of gold in the portfolio. You know, where are we headed here in the United States? Well, we've certainly got some major challenges ahead of us. I mean, I think it's conceivable that we could have a debt crisis in the next, 10 years. What does that mean? I mean, it sounds pretty ominous, and it is, although many countries have been through it. And I think we would weather it, but it would result in high inflation would be one of the primary outcomes, as well as slower growth. We've got to get a handle on this debt situation. I mean, it's just gotten out of sight in terms of our federal spending and borrowing. We've got some longer term challenges as well with demographics. I mean, we're not having as many babies, and with the baby boomers retiring, we're not replacing what's called worker replacement is not occurring just because of the rate of population increase, and it's going to create some challenges for us, which is why it's really important that we, you know, when we show up to vote, we're educated and know which candidates stand for a biblical worldview of economics and wealth creation, that every person was created with value to be productive. And, you know, we're more mind than mouth. We're not just consumers, but we're creators made in the image of Creator God. And there's a virtuous cycle of production and work and creation and improving God's creation that expands economic output and productivity. And then we give back to the God who created us that creates this virtuous cycle. And the moment we forget that and try to put the state in place of God, you know, and look to the Federal Reserve or something else as our provider, we get all that all out of sorts. And so we need leaders who understand a biblical worldview, who aren't going to presume upon the future, who are going to spend within their means, all the things that we need to do as individuals, we need to do as a nation. And, you know, we can turn this around. I mean, I'm not saying we're heading off a cliff and everything's going to come crumbling down. I don't think we should pull money out of banks. I don't think we should get out of the stock market. I think, you know, we need to continue to invest, in my view, which is very biblical, in the ingenuity and the companies of the United States and abroad that have real sales and earnings. And, you know, there's a lot to be excited about with relation to technological advances and AI and a lot of the things that are happening. But we also need to use sound money management principles as a nation alongside it. So all that being said, where does gold fit into that? I mean, I think gold is clearly a store of value. It's a fear trade because when times get fearful, gold, you know, tends to do well and it rallies. So how do you fit that into your portfolio? Well, I guess the only thing I would say, Holly, is that just historically, despite all of the other challenges and crises we've faced along the way, it does tend to be, again, based on historical performance, more volatile, and it doesn't have as good a performance over the long haul. You know, it's selling today at about $2,040 an ounce. That's actually $500 lower than it sold for in 1979, adjusted for inflation. Meanwhile, the S&P 500 went from 431 in 1979 to about 4,850 today. That's about a tenfold increase. So I think for that reason, it has a place in your portfolio, but I wouldn't overweight there. So what does that mean? Well, I would say, you know, most people, if you have the ability to do this, should have a 5% forever allocation in gold. And that might be the position you want to take in physical gold with maybe, you know, gold coins or, you know, gold bars that are smaller where you're going to secure them, store them safely. You'd have them for the future. Maybe you plan on passing them on. If you ever needed them, you've got them. And then with the other 5% for a total of 10, I'd probably buy, and this is just my thoughts on it. I mean, this may or may not apply in your situation, but I'd take the other 5% and buy one of the gold tracker ETFs, which is basically an exchange traded fund that has gold in a vault that backs it. And the ETF just moves in lockstep with the price of the ounce of gold, of an ounce of gold. So as gold goes up, the price of the ETF goes up. So it's a way for you to have a gold trade in your portfolio without you having to take possession of the gold, which means you can lower that position if you wanted to without having to find a dealer to buy it. And then you've got the markup, you know, for them to make the purchase, and you've got more to store and secure. And so it's a way to kind of split your gold allocation of 10% between a physical allocation at 5 and then a tracker stock at the other 5. But that's a lot of information. Give me your thoughts on all that, Holly.
You know, I don't really have a lot of background in trading and that kind of stuff, but this makes sense to me. If you were trying to alleviate the possibility of losing everything in a hyperinflation scenario, it seems like maybe the physical gold would take care of helping, you know, in that situation. As far as the other one being basically a stock, would that be affected by a collapse? Like, I mean, even if we went into like the detrimental computer crash situation, would that just automatically possibly be lost?
No, because the idea there is that there's gold backing it in a vault. And so there's actually real gold there. Now, the markets would have to be functioning because this is a trade. And arguably, in a crash environment like that, as long as the markets are open, you know, that would go up because the price of gold would be rising rapidly. And so there'd be a lot of trading volume there, and so you could still get it. But definitely different than having it in your safe in the other room, that's for sure. So that's my take on it. But hopefully that helps you, Holly. It's a great thought, and we appreciate you being on the program today. We'll be right back.
To all of our friends on American Family Radio, this is Michael Brown. Thrilled to announce to you that we have a brand new 30-minute daily equipping broadcast that will light a fresh fire in your life and will infuse you with faith and truth and courage to help you stand strong in the Lord. It's coming your way, 12:30 every single night, 5 days a week. Don't miss a single broadcast on the Line of Fire. I believe your life will be changed.
The world around us is constantly challenging the way we think. That's why we need a constant source of information that's based on the unchanging Word of God. I'm Jeff Shambley, and I invite you to join me for The Stand Radio, a weekly program that highlights the latest trends in culture, faith, and family. You'll hear insightful interviews with a biblical worldview application. The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
God has entrusted His finances to you, and we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically-based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers, where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started.
Because of my past health history, finding affordable health care was nearly impossible. But then I found CHM, where costs are not adjusted based on medical history. Christian Healthcare Ministries even provides the freedom to choose my own providers. And the best part? CHM members pray for me. Too good to be true? It's not. I'm a proud member of Christian Healthcare Ministries, and if you think it could be right for you, learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
So glad you're joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions here in our final segment. We'll get to as many as we can. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Ron's been waiting patiently in Oklahoma. Go ahead, sir. Hey, Ron, are you with us? All right. I'm not.
Yes, sir. Apologize.
All right.
I
no
just
worries.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. Go ahead.
I'm in the middle of transitioning from, I'm a reservist, but I work as a civilian. I'm transitioning to be a pilot in the Air Force. Nice. But I have a question about, I was presented a way to make passive income. My question is, what passive income is biblically based and has a biblical worldview and aligns with scripture? And also, how much time should I apply in investing in my finances before it kind of ventures over into like gluttony or not really focusing on God's view of finances?
Wow. Yeah, I love this, Ron. Great questions. First of all, thank you for your service to our country. What do you fly?
I don't know yet. I'm putting my packet in for OTS. It's wherever God tells me to fly.
Okay. I love it. Well, grateful again for your service to our nation, sir. You know, this is a great question because, you know, what we're talking about here is a couple of things. Number one is how do we look at how we manage God's money, which is what it is, through the lens of Scripture, both with regard to the investments, the deployment of our capital in a way that's God-honoring, and how much is enough, right? What is our financial finish line? Because it's not a matter of just the mindless accumulation of wealth. It's really about putting something aside, which is clearly a biblical model, but we don't want to trip over into, you know, what we saw with the parable of the rich fool, where he said, listen, I had great harvest. So guess what? I'm going to take all those barns I have. I'm going to tear them down. I'm going to rebuild them bigger so I can eat, drink, and be merry. And that, and we see at the end of that, God says, you fool, this night your life is demanded of you. And so it is for those who are not rich toward God. And so the question is, what does it mean to live rich toward God? How do we find an appropriate amount of savings, as we're managing God's resources? And so let's dive into both of those. When you say passive income, Ron, what are you meaning there?
I was walking in the store and a gentleman came up to me and he started talking to me about, ended up being a brother in Christ as well. And he started talking to me about a company where they invest in the small aspects of things like toothpaste, toothbrushes, and you can be a business owner over that. And you make money by other people investing in that. So you make money at home without technically working. And I didn't know if that was first of all, I thought it was a scam. But I wanted to know the truth of any passive income period of trying to make money without actually working a 9-to-5. Is that a biblical worldview? And if it is, where is it and where is it not?
Sure. Well, certainly putting your money to work and getting a return on it is absolutely a biblical concept. I mean, you should, consider the parable of the talents would be a great example of where, you're managing the master's money. You need to know the master's heart in order to be a wise and effective manager. And part of that includes taking what the manager has entrusted to you and getting an appropriate rate of return, not living in fear, but, putting it to work in a way that's prudent. And so, I think that's absolutely appropriate. I would be very cautious about anyone approaching you with an offer of, quote, passive income where, maybe you have to buy into a system or, you don't have to do any work. So the way I would look at passive investing is through investing in, sound investments where you understand the risk levels, where, you're properly diversified, which is also a principle right out of scripture from Ecclesiastes. So you're not putting all of your eggs in one basket, which is what you would be doing in this quote unquote passive business opportunity with the, consumer durables. And, I would look at that as in putting a solid investment plan together where that passive income is the growth and the dividends of the companies that you're invested in through, the traditional stock market investments. So I would find a good high quality mutual fund, perhaps one even that has a faith-based approach where you're systematically investing into it and you're looking for the growth and the income from it so that at some point you could convert that into an income stream in retirement, let's say, when God directs you to something else and maybe you're unable to work for pay at that point or at least your pay is reduced, and this could supplement that income to maintain your God-given lifestyle, whatever God has called you to there. So I would probably say without knowing anything, and I don't look at the kind of opportunities that were presented to you there because they often don't work out. They're much riskier. They require a lot of upfront capital, and they just don't pan out the way that they're described. Instead, I think a very prudent approach would be investing in the stock and bond market. Now, with regard to a God-honoring approach, I mean, I think this is a conviction matter. So, I'm not one who says investing in the S&P 500 is sinful. I think that's a Romans 14 issue. Let each one be fully convinced in his own mind. So our deployment of capital in the secondary markets, which is what happens when we buy stocks and bonds and trade through the market, whether or not we need to be screening those investments, I think is up to each conviction of each individual to decide. Now, if you decide you want to go that direction, there's some wonderful faith-based investing fund families out there like Eventide, like One Ascent, like Guidestone, like Timothy Plan. And these folks, are focused on creating value for their shareholders by buying companies that they're looking to appreciate, but they're also screening out companies that would violate biblical values. And they're intentionally selecting companies that, make the world rejoice, that create human flourishing, and even looking to make a kingdom impact. And you could find a list of those on our website at faithfi.com. Just click the show. And you'll see a number of those fund families there, and you could make an investment directly in any of those mutual funds in a way that fits your overall goals and objectives and risk tolerance. The last thing I'll say as to the second part of that question on how much is enough, I think is a decision that we each need to come to between us and the Lord. You know, it'd be one thing if the Bible said, here's what enough looks like, or here's what percent of your income you should live off of. It doesn't, which means we have to go to the Lord and say, what have you called me to? What's the appropriate lifestyle for me? How much is enough with regard to accumulation? And having a godly advisor who can walk with you, because there's the math equation side of that that says, based on the lifestyle I feel like God has led me to, here's how much I would need in retirement to supplement Social Security to maintain that lifestyle. That's a math equation. But then the other side of that is just, Lord, how much do you want me to trust in you for my provision? How much do you want me to give away now and in the future? And what is that kind of right balance? And I don't think, you know, that's a set it and forget it. I think that's a constant conversation you're having with the Lord. But as long as you're checking your heart against greed and you're asking the Lord how much is enough and you're looking for opportunities to give even radically beyond that point, I think that's the place where God, you know, really is pleased with our approach to managing his money. Remember, there's plenty of very wealthy people in the Bible. It was about their hearts, though. Why did God entrust them that resource? And what did they do with it? I think that was the ultimate test of whether or not we're seeking the Lord with our money management. But I've thrown a lot at you, Ron. Give me your thoughts on all that.
You definitely answered my question. I have three kids. I have a 1-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 7-year-old. And me and my wife, we've focused on this very hard. I mean, we budget pretty well. We budget our finances off a 70-30 rule. 70% goes to our bills. 30% is split between tithes, savings, and personal money. So we're really awesome. Trying to ensure that we do this correctly. But I agree. I do feel that the heart posture check is one thing that God has really been ensuring that I recheck every single time, I can't even say it's per career. I think per paycheck, God is saying, heart posture check every time you have something come in, because I may have a different plan for you as it comes in. But I think you answered perfectly what I was looking for.
Well, here's what I want to do. I'm so encouraged by your call and your question today and the way you're approaching this. I want to send you a copy of our brand new 4-week study. It just came off the printer. It's called Rich Toward God, and it's a study on the parable of the rich fool. And it's going to take you over 4 weeks, and maybe you and your wife do this together. I'll send you 2 copies. It's going to take you into this incredible passage in Luke 12 and help you guys think through and process what is true abundance. Can we get prideful in our prosperity? What about the uncertainty of tomorrow? And then finally, what does it mean to live rich toward God? I think this study will be a blessing to you. It's full of scripture. It's going to challenge you with some important questions to consider that we'll ask you to answer as you go through it. But I think when you get to the other side of it, the Lord will really use it to help you investigate some of these things you're thinking about, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for that. Thank you.
All right. Hey, stay on the line. We'll get a copy, actually 2 copies of Rich Toward God in the mail to you. By the way, folks, if you'd like to check it out, we'd love for you to look at our brand new FaithFi study. It's our very first in our series of FaithFi studies. Again, it's called Rich Toward God. It's a journey through this 4-week study on the parable of the rich fool found in Luke 12, 13 to 21. And it really tackles some incredible themes in scripture that I think we all need to wrestle with, including this really important question: what does it mean to live rich toward God? Check it out today. You'll find it on our website at faithfi.com. You'll see a pop-up there for it, or you can click on shop at the top of the page and read more about our new study. Well, folks, unfortunately, we're out of time. Sharon, Brandy, Ron, Todd, I'm so sorry I didn't get to your questions, but well, I did, Ron. But Sharon, Brandy, and Todd, we'd love to get you on a future broadcast, perhaps even tomorrow. So stay right there. We'll see if we can get you scheduled for another edition of Faith and Finance Live later this week. That's going to do it for us today, folks. Let me say thanks to my amazing team. I certainly couldn't do this without them. I'm grateful for Devin Patrick, Robert Youngblood, Jim Henry, those three gentlemen serving us today, along with the rest of the FaithFi team. May God bless you. Hope you'll come back and join us tomorrow. We'll do it all over again. Until then, bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.